The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Thursday's racing on this edition, and you'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2pm on Thursday with Sean Quinn, Rory Delaghi and Gary Capewell in the studio. Six meetings to look forward to: Brighton, Haydock and Yarmouth in the afternoon. It's Sandown, Newcastle and Southwell in the evening, so do tune in for all of that. Right now though, my name is Mark Walton and I'm joined in the studio by Mr. Chris Pimlott. How are you, Pimmy?
Very good afternoon to you, Mark. And yeah, I'm absolutely in top form, buddy. Thank you.
Good.
Enjoying the lovely summer we're having.
Yeah, until the last couple of days, it's been belting, hasn't it?
No, it's been fantastic. Yeah. Again, I'm sure we've all been happy with the rain. We've all needed a little drop, and it's come now. Let's hope it doesn't forget to stop. And again, it's been good for the race courses. They've been able to get plenty through the turnstiles, and it certainly shows us off in the best light when it's a lovely day and you're going racing, doesn't it?
Yeah, I went to Ripon on Monday and it was glorious weather.
Yeah,
and, yeah, very good day.
Wow, lovely race course as well. The garden race course, as they say. You didn't come home with any pots of flowers, did you?
I didn't.
Bag them in the back of the car or anything. Because I know one or two went missing on Monday.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, they might be onto me.
And you're the prime suspect.
Anyway, let's talk about some of the news, Pimmy. We'll start with the Phoenix, which comes up in Ireland this weekend, and it's shaping up to be quite a good race. Eddie Lynham said that he's confident about Anthem Alexander, who remarkably bids to give him a first Group 1 in Ireland. We've seen him win plenty of Group 1s over in England, of course. Going to take on the likes of Cool Company in the race, who's Richard Hannon's runner, won a couple of Group 2s. We won't see the wow signal, though. Coughing will be the reason why he's not very well. So
yeah, that's a real shame for the Quinyar, because he was so impressive, the wow signal at the Royal Meeting. We're all anxious to see him again, and this would have been a real true test for him, wouldn't it, this Phoenix Stakes, but not to be. Hopefully it's only a short term blip for the wow signal and that we see him before the end of the season.
Yeah. Cool Company was supplemented at a cost of €20,000, so they've paid to put him in the race. I mean, he's got a good chance, hasn't he?
Well, he goes there with a big chance, doesn't he? And you know, in the whole context of the ball game, 20,000 yo-yos isn't a great deal, is it? So I can understand that they're keen to go. He's been in good form, and he wants to take his chance, doesn't he? That's the thing.
Yeah. But yeah, the horses that we have got in there, it's set to be a good race, isn't it?
So. Oh, fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And, you know, it's something to look forward to over the weekend. As I say, it's just a real shame that the Quinny horse isn't going to be able to make it, you know?
Yeah. Looking beyond that, a bit of news elsewhere. Paul Hannigan, he's on course to return to ride to Grudar at York in a couple of weeks' time. Hairline fracture. He's hoping to get the cast removed on Thursday. And then it should be all systems go. I mean, if he won't want to miss the ride, will he?
Oh, no, certainly not. But, I mean, York's 2 weeks away from today, isn't it? Sixth today, so the 20th, that's the opening day of the Ebor meeting, isn't it? So, yeah, 2 weeks is plenty long enough. I mean, reading between the lines, so to speak, a little slight hairline fracture of the lower arm, it isn't a big deal in the terms of a jockey. And he'll obviously be getting the best treatment from specialists and doctors and physios, so there's one thing for certain, he will be there come the opening day of the Ebor, and it's just a shame, and it's sod's law in it, because he was having such a wonderful time of it, riding at the top of his game, riding with so much confidence, and all of a sudden you just get this bolt out the blue. And again, quite rightly, as you say, it could have been a lot worse than just the hairline fracture, because he got a nasty kicking from one or two of the others. And again, I think that's really true testament towards the body protector and the helmets these days. They are very, very good indeed at keeping the jockey in one piece. It's not going to stop him getting completely injured, but it's certainly helping him a big deal.
Yeah, OK, so good luck to Paul Hannigan. And looking even further ahead, just reading here that Enker is set to be handed the Irish Ledger assignment. Of course, we saw him win the Ledger a couple of years ago, scuppering Camelot's Triple Crown bid. He's going back the right way. I mean, he made a nice enough reappearance, didn't he, in that Group 3?
Yeah, he ran well enough. I mean, it was 685 days since we'd last seen him.
Yeah.
So certainly, you know, a long, long absence. And he's sure to have come on for the race. He's sure to have fitted up. He's sure to be a little bit more streetwise again to having that run under his belt. And certainly he's worthy of taking his chance, that is for sure. So we'll watch this space there. But not an easy task to bring him back to the level that he left off at, but by the same token, he didn't disappoint. Let's put it that way. When we saw him a couple of days ago,
no, showed that he still has some of the ability at least. And one final mention just for Thistle Bird, because she's been retired. She won the Pretty Polly Stakes in June. That was her biggest success. She's retired through injury and she's going to go to the paddock. So she was a good mare, wasn't she?
She was indeed. Yeah, I mean, that is the beauty about having a mare. If she does get an injury, then at least you've got other options with her. And, you know, she was a quality filly as well. So, you know, she's definitely going to be an interesting filly to go to the paddocks. And again, it'd be interesting to see what they made her up with in the long term, you know.
Mm-hmm. OK, anything else, Bimmy, on your mind before we move on?
No, I don't think so. Slight concern regarding Weatherby and the flat racing, although they're trying to quell any doubts that National Hunt Racing is not going to get affected there. I'm not entirely sure I believe everything that was put in the paper yesterday regarding that. I don't think it's a bad idea, them having flat racing there. In fact, I just went past the course yesterday. It looked fantastic. And, it did lend itself to flat racing, that is for sure. But, you know, we know it as one of the best jump tracks in the country, not only in the North England, but the country. Mm. And it would be a shame if it doesn't remain that way.
Yeah.
So we'll watch this space there, but I wasn't entirely convinced that what the people from Weatherby Racecourse were actually telling us yesterday in the paper.
Okay. Well, hopefully it won't affect the National Hunt side of things, because that's what we like Weatherby for, so hopefully that will be the case. But let's focus on things a little bit closer to hand. Thursday's racing, we're going all over the country for Pimmer's selections.
You are indeed. You've gone here, there and everywhere, Mark. I mean, I was just trying to stick to one steady little meeting, and then all of a sudden on my desk in William Hill Towers, and it's a very special desk because it's a computer-free zone.
Yeah.
Three races appeared. Amazing. Yeah. From three different tracks.
Well, we're just going in search of the value, Pimmy, and we'll get Pimmer's thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. From the first race until the last, it's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then we'll start at Brighton in the 350. That's the first race in chronological order anyway. And this is the Brighton Challenge Cup, which is a Class 4 handicap for three-year-olds and older. It's over a mile and, nearly a mile and a half. A mile and three furlongs and 196 yards, so pretty much a mile and a half. And 14 of them in the lineup here, Pimmy. It's going to be something like 5-2 on the field, something like that. It's a competitive race. Where do you want to start?
Well, very competitive, and it's good to see decent prize money. Just short of 12,500 to the winner, and prize money down to sixth place. So well done to Brighton for offering up that decent bit of prize money. It is a Class 4. 14 of them are declared to go to post. And the man at Brighton, certainly at the time of recording, is Richard Hughes. He's a 31% strike rate at Brighton over the last 5 years. So anything you usually rides, one in three is going to win,
yeah,
sort of thing. So certainly bear that in mind when you're looking through the Brighton card tomorrow. He partners the Holy Man for Joe Cowley in this race. Well, the Holy Man ran well enough, I thought, last time out at Lingfield over a mile and a half. He finished third on that occasion, but I just felt that he possibly ran a little bit better than his final position suggests, because he was really hustled and bustled to get the lead, and then he was pushed again and shoved again three out, and then he just got a bit tired inside the final furlong. So I think possibly with a little bit less aggression early doors, he certainly could run very well, the Holy Man. Mm-hmm. And as I say, with Hughesy on board, certainly is an interesting one, and hopefully he won't be far off a double figure price. Horses that come into the race in the back of good form, you've got Compton Bird, who was a winner at Epsom last time out when he beat Daljig, and then you've got the Sean Harris runner El Bravo. Now, be careful here with your Bravos, because you've got Echo Brava and El Bravo. So be careful there. El Bravo, winner of a Pontefract race last time out. That was back-to-back wins for him. Sean Harris having a fantastic time of it at the moment for a small stable, doing really well with his horses. And again, you couldn't leave this out of the equation, although obviously he's starting to go up the weights a little bit there. And the other one that I thought was interesting was Marzante from the Yodger Charlton Yard. Had a breakthrough, obviously injury, came back last time out and ran a cracker in defeat at Epsom in an apprentice handicap when he just was beaten ahead by Cherry Princess. Looked all over the winner till the shadow of the post. My only concern with Marzante is long absence and then just 7 days from that first run. The old bounce back that just comes into it a little bit there. So that's what would just make me tread carefully regarding him. But he certainly did run really well last time out. And the other one I thought was interesting is Ethics Girl, who got ahead in front last time out again at Epsom by a short head when she beat Barwick. Again, nicely weighted with the 9 stone. She could enter the equation as well. But each way, for me, the Holy Man and Richard Hughes.
Okay, the Holy Man each way then in the 350. Moving on to the 410 at Haydock next. And this is a Class 4 handicap for 3-year-olds and older, over 6 furlongs, 11 of them in the lineup. So another nice each way shape to the race. Pimmy, which ones are on the shortlist?
Well, I looked at one or two here. I thought, obviously, Duke Cosimo's interesting. He ran, again, better than his fifth position at Redcar last time, suggest to be perfectly honest. He had every chance at the furlong pole and just got a little bit weary, dreary. Prior to that, he was a readied winner for the David Baron Yard, and his horses continue in good form at the moment. So he's very interesting, and Graham Gibbons, very powerful pilot indeed, and does well when he teams up with Baron. So I thought Duke Cosimo was on the shortlist. Compton Bart was a winner last time out at Ponty. He could be interesting, despite the burden of 9 stone 13. And the other horse that I thought came into the equation was Superstar. The bottom horse, who was a winner again last time out. That was only of a maiden at Windsor, admittedly. But, again, interesting sort. Could have improved for that run. Could have boosted its confidence. So wouldn't leave that out of the equation. As to Bop It from the O'Meara Yard, who possibly underachieved, I felt, last time out when only 5th of 8 at Catterick behind Lady Frances. But if you can forgive her that, in this grade, she certainly could be fairly competitive. So plenty coming here with chances, competitive handicap as you'd imagine, but again, looking for value, I'm going to go for the last time out winner, Arctic Feeling. She won at York last time out. York form always travels. She beat Mon Brav last time by a length and a quarter. That was a competitive race. Whether Arctic Feeling will be an each way price, that would be the slight concern. But I think, again, more than likely that previous race at Brighton we've looked at, they might go 4 or 5 to 1 the field. And if that's the case, I think you can put Arctic Feeling in your each-way patent.
OK. So we've got 2 each-way selections so far, then moving on to the 7.25 at Sandown next. And this is a Class 3 handicap for 3-year-olds over a mile and a quarter. Plenty of them coming into this in winning form here, Pimmy, and obviously unexposed types in here as well. So which ones do you like here?
Well, absolute smasher of a race, this, isn't it? And you can certainly look through there. It looks very, very competitive. Obviously, the three that jump off the page at you, Hoop of Colour, Mythical Madness and Prince of Stars. Hoop of Colour was a winner at Pontefract last time out of a filly's handicap when she beat Vicky Valentine by a neck. Only 5 runners there, so how competitive was that? Not too sure. Then you've got Mythical Madness, who was a winner at Windsor, mile and 2 furlong maiden, and again beat Ronnie Rockcake on that occasion by an easy 3 lengths. So again, 6-5 favourite on that occasion. Could be an awful lot more to come from that one. And the other one that's interesting is Prince of Stars from the John Gosden Yard. This 3-year-old was the 11-8 favourite when it stayed on well at Chester to win a maiden back in May. Now, that's a slight concern that we haven't seen it for about 3 months.
Yeah.
But John Gosden, more than likely, thinks might just need a bit of time, need a little bit of time to mature, strengthen up a little bit. The thing about winning at Chester is it will become fairly streetwise. Mm. Around those tight bends, will have to get itself balanced. And I think that possibly just sways it for me with Prince of Stars to come out tops of the three that are fairly unexposed. And again, I think Prince of Stars hopefully will be the price to put in your each-way painting.
OK, Prince of Stars, then the third and final each-way selection. Let's just have a quick summary of your each-way patent then, Pimmy.
Yeah, we're looking to a little bit of value in the 350 at Brighton. We're looking towards score specialist Richard Hughes on the Holy Man. At Haydock at 4:10 in the 6th furlong sprint handicap, we're going to go with Arctic Feeling and the ponytail Samantha Bell. And in the 7:25 in chronological terms, I'm going to take a chance. This is a very competitive race with fairly unexposed few taking the chances. Who comes out on top? But I'm going to side with the very much informed John Goldston and his horse, Prince of Stars.
Good work. Thank you very much, Pimmy. Good luck and enjoy it on Thursday.
We will indeed. Look forward to it.
So there you go. The thoughts of Chris Pimlott on Thursday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 2 p.m. with Sean Quinn, Rory Delaghi and Gary Capewell in the studio. We have Brighton, Haydock and Yarmouth in the afternoon. Sandown, Newcastle and Southwell will take us through the evening. Plenty to look forward to. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast and enjoy Thursday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.